Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to
Finish
Big.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho. All you hoes out there.
And a Nick Briggs New Year. Because there'll be plenty of him.
I'm Mark.
And I am Joe.
And this is a little extra episode. I mean, normally we are working our way through Big Finish, listening through in some kind of order.
Every single release, yes.
Yeah, but for our little Christmas episode, we thought we'd do something different.
That's right.
We're going to do our Big Finish A to Z.
Is that what we're doing?
Or A to Z, as Perry might say.
I thought we was doing... were you expecting a laugh then? I thought we were doing the best Christmas songs of Big Finish.
No, don't start, please.
The bleak mist.
No, not again.
You're the
We've
doctor.
Had enough of...
You know all about stuff.
What's that from?
That's different Blackpool.
Oh. Anyway, so we're doing our
and what about... Oh, and we're bushes, and bushes never give up.
What's the one that's Christmas time, it's Christmas time or something?
No, you're talking about relative dimensions.
Yeah.
This is Christmas.
That's it.
this is Christmas. La la la. Anyway. Well, that's
so
not what we're doing.
What we are doing, as I say, are A to Z.
So we... Or A to Z, as Perry might say. Obviously, it's obviously just the way you say it.
Well, maybe somebody wanted to get some glass to make their Big Finish A to Z. Anyway, so we've both written down our A to Zeds.
That's right. Although it's a bit tenuous sometimes because some of these letters are hard to find things. And you'd think with all the fucking Big Finish releases, we would find an X and a Z somewhere.
So these can be characters, actors, stories, production crew, anything related to Big Finish.
Have you done all of those? I think I've ticked all those boxes.
I'm mainly probably characters and stories.
Oh, really?
Doctor Who wise. But we'll see. Okay. So we're both going to see our A's and our B's and our C's together and see what we get because we don't know what each other's written down.
I'll probably do a bit of acting as we go along.
Oh, God.
To explain some of mine. Maybe if I do the acting and then you can guess what it is.
It is really tough, though.
Some of
them
are
really,
tough.
Really
some
tough.
Of them are easy. And then some of them, you've got letters like S.
Well, there's tons.
Where there's like 100 things
what
and I could have to try and choose between all my favourite
so
things.
Try to choose our most favourite things.
Yes, so, that's right. Raindrops on roses and la la la. These are a few of our Big Finish favourite things.
Right, let's get on with it then. So who's going to go first?
Go on, you can go first.
Oh, God. Okay, I wrote this list quite a little while ago, so I'm thinking, why did I write some of these? But so A...
I've got a reason for mine. Have you got a reason?
Well, in my head somewhere. So
you just tapped this out in 10 minutes, haven't you?
No. Well, they just what came to my head straight away.
Okay.
So A
is for
Adric.
Adric?
Yes.
Go on.
So, well, after a very long
explain
time...
yourself.
Matthew Waterhouse came back...
Yeah.
...to be in Doctor Who, and I think it's been a great success.
That he does have a very bizarre voice, doesn't he?
That...
He talks like that. Hello, Doctor.
Yeah, I know,
I'm trying to sound like a young man again.
But it symbolises what a lot of these Doctor Who companions from, like, the 80s... They've come back to Big Finish.
Mm.
They've been given some really good scripts. They've been given an opportunity to do a bit more acting. And that first box set that he came back in...
Oh, my God. Psychodrome and iterations of I.
And just to have
that,
season 19 team. We've had a load of season 19 stories. And he's done some season 18 stories.
Yeah.
So it represents
the
opportunities.
The peak was that first set, though.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
That was amazingly good. And, like, people were gagging... Mm. Gagging for more Adric after
and also
that.
There was that short trip that he did, a full live.
You've tried to put that on many times.
Which,
I get bored every
people,
time.
That is one of the top
short. Why?
Yeah, it's really nice. It's those short trips can do a lot more than what sometimes a full cast can do. It's him talking about his life and he's telling a season 18 story, but then there's a bit of a twist and it goes in a bit of a different direction. But he does it really, really well. I think Matthew Waterhouse is a really good actor.
Yes, he is.
Nowadays.
And he's an intellectual as
and
well.
And he's very... He really thinks... You can tell that he's really thought about how he's playing it.
Although his assertion that the Fourth Doctor and Adric is the best ever Doctor-Companion combination is a bit off,
off the
mark.
So that's my A. What's your A?
I sing of Angvia, most beautiful woman.
Is it serious?
My little man. Yeah, I think she's wonderful. It's Patricia Quinn.
So Angvia.
So funny. Yeah. Wow. Well, I couldn't find anything better. So I just went for Patricia Quinn, which is a good thing.
Well, it's certainly a memorable performance in those first...
Oh, please. The only performance more over the top than Patricia Quinn as Angvia is Caroline John as that woman from Dust Breeding. Do you remember?
Yeah, they're both the same, yeah.
Gleamed. What are you doing, man? Yeah. Oh, but Angvia, no. I mean... She deserves a place on this list because she's the only person that's managed to seduce Sylvester McCoy.
Yes, so far.
She shoves his face right in her pits. Ooh, I bet they weren't shaven either. Oh, disgusting. Okay, well, that's the A's.
Right, B. Have we got the same B?
Oh, no, that's the wrong one.
Yeah, of course. Well, my B is, of course, the number one lady of Big Finish.
Hi, my friends call me Benny.
Benny Summerfield. You put Benny, yeah?
Yeah, of course I
Yes, I knew we both had that one. I mean, go and listen to our Lisa Bowman interview. You'll know how much we love Benny Summerfield.
Love
her. She started it all, that character.
And may I say, thank you very much, Lisa Bowman, for mentioning our podcast on the latest Nick and Benji Big Finish Smug Show. Thank you so much.
That was a little while back. But...
Oh, I know.
But no, of course.
Actually, she didn't mention you, did she? Is that Joe's one? I was
No one knows who I am. It's fine. But no, Bernice Summerfield, of course.
She's had 1,500 seasons now.
And I really hope she does carry on and we're going to get some more in the future.
She says we're going to get more next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder what they're going to do with her next.
I know. I will never be bored of Bernice. I'll never be bored of Lisa.
What is your favourite iteration of Bernice so
I think
far?
It's the Simon Gurrier years. So it's sort of series 7, 6, 7 and 8.
It's fairly complicated around then, though,
isn't it?
Yeah,
I love it. I know, when it got very arc-based, very collection-based. And I think Lisa Bowman, all that stuff around Jason's death. Oh, sorry, spoilers. She's fabulous.
My favourite time, obviously, is that early time with on the collection with Jason.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Series
as
2,
well.
3.
Yeah,
2. Ugh. No, I like all that time, so... Absolutely love it. We haven't heard all the Unbound, the new Doctor.
No.
David Warner ones, have we? So
we've listened to some of them.
Yeah.
Though.
But of course, a B could not be anything.
Bernice is the queen of Big Finish, as far as we are concerned, and so she deserves a double B. Although I think she's a double D.
Oh my god. Okay, give us your C.
Okay. My C is, of course, everybody's favourite Utermison, Cariz.
No,
I'm lying. I've done a few of these where I've got boobies instead of, and then I'll do the real one.
Okay.
Now, of course, it's not Cariz. God, he's bloody interminable, isn't he? Although we love Comrade, and it could have been Comrade Westmouth because, let's be honest, it's a heroic effort he made with that boring character. Did you see everyone's reaction to him coming back?
No, it's cute.
No, fuck, I liked him in the first place.
See what happens.
Everyone was going back in the day, get rid of fucking Cariz, he's so boring. And now they're all like, there's this thing about nostalgia at the moment where even the terrible things are being celebrated.
No, we'll see. I think it's going to be really good, the new ones.
Of course, C is Colin Baker.
Oh,
the best Doctor stroke actor in Big Finish. The man who won't say no to any production spin-off. Like, he'll take a paycheck to do anything. He's in everything. But he is magnificent. I've never known him to give. He's never off.
No.
He's always on. He's always studied his scripts in depth. He's always clearly having a whale of a time. He's a fantastic ambassador for Big Finish. Colin.
Ever since we saw him grinning on the front of that Birthright CD for Bernice, his first Big Finish appearance, we knew that Colin
Baker
would be in it.
Doesn't he there when he's grinning on that cover,
Oh, he's...
It's like a human version of a pork pie.
And it's worked both ways, hasn't it? It's done great things for his Doctor. Big Finish did a lot for him, and in return, he's...
It's excuse me, is it your sea?
No.
Well, why are you giving reasons as to why Colin should be my sea?
I'm agreeing with you. Okay, sorry. Okay. Well, no, and in return, it's a mutual thing. He's really helped Big Finish, and Big Finish has really helped him, I think. I think it's just absolutely perfect. Yeah.
I wish I had some mulled wine, you know, to do this. I'm drinking coffee. It doesn't feel festive enough.
My C is a little linked. The Condemned. The Sixth Doctor Adventure.
I've just listened to that this week.
On Too Hard for TV.
Too Hard for TV.
Yeah, they talked about it, didn't they?
No, I didn't. I listened to the story.
Oh, right.
I'll tell you, it holds up brilliantly.
So this, for people who don't know, this is the one where Charlie Pollard thought the Eighth Doctor was dead. And they got separated.
Yeah.
And then the Doctor came to rescue her. And she's like, oh my God, it's the TARDIS. And it's the Sixth Doctor that turns up, not the Eighth.
Which very sounds confusing. Very wanky.
But no, when this somehow was released,
they pull it off.
At the time, that cliffhanger, it was at the end of The Girl Who Never Was.
Yeah.
And then you had to wait a little bit for The Condemned. And it's a brilliant story. It's a modern day Sixth Doctor story, which you didn't get on TV.
Set in a tower block in Manchester. Yeah. It's like a murder mystery tale.
And
but what's the one? Silent Witness is like that. Mm. It's done really seriously.
And it gave Charlie a whole new lease of life after she was getting a little bit stale with the Eighth Doctor stuff. And then having the Sixth Doctor and Charlie more adventures.
Him a new lease of life as
he
well.
He does a lot more, doesn't he?
Because suddenly he's a bit suspicious and a bit spiky again. He's less that sort of cuddly Colin.
Mm.
And he's more the old Sixth Doctor again. So,
but it's one of my all-time favourites.
And it's D.I. Menzies as well.
D.I. Menzies. They've messed up the continuity a little bit later on when she returned again, which really annoyed
me. They made a joke of it.
No, it was annoying. They sort of
She sort of knew all along in The Condemned who
because
it was.
That was that her first appearance, or was she already been in The Crimes of Thomas Brewster?
It's all very confusing. It's very confusing.
I think it was her first appearance, and then when she appeared later on, they made it out that she knew who he was, but she was pretending. That annoyed me. But apart from that, The Condemned is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I can. I did literally listen to this yesterday, so I cannot argue with that.
Yeah.
Well, then the first D coming around is another name of a story.
Give us your D.
Davros.
Oh!
Which is coming up for us. And it's a long story by Lance Parkin.
God, it is.
It goes into Davros's history. It's a fantastic acting opportunity for Terry Molloy, who gets to play good and gets to play really evil.
It's his first return, isn't it?
Yeah, and he does flashbacks to Davros as well. It's a brilliant character tale. It's very scary. Wendy Padbury and Bernard Horsfall were in there. They're amazing. Colin is brilliant in it. It's just a seriously superlative story.
It's a great... There's those scenes between Davros and the Doctor where they've got to work together, haven't they?
Amazing.
Brilliant. And it's a solo Sixth Doctor story because he's left Perry at a botany place or something.
He's trying to wind Davros up. He's trying to make him angry so he shows his true colours. And every now and again, Davros is like... it's so funny.
Now, I remember them being quite long episodes, like hour episodes.
They're good. It's really very good. It's peak Big Finish in 2003, when it's at its absolute height in the main range.
Well, my D is an early adventure, Daughter of the Gods.
Oh, I've not heard it.
Which was billed as a, what if they did a season 5, you know, 5-year anniversary story.
It's Katarina, isn't it?
So it's the second Doctor, Jamie, Zoe, first Doctor, Stephen and Katarina, with the Daleks. And I just I was so excited that they were bringing Katarina back. Bit of one of those alternative timeline, what if something's gone wrong with time and then they have to
Did Adrian Hill play her?
No, of course not.
Why not?
Because she's dead.
Oh, that's another D.
God.
Oh, sorry, I'm not meaning to laugh. Who played her then?
I can't remember her name, but she's very good. She plays her in the Ravenous.
Does she
as well
say the lines like, you know, we'll never reach
it's
the
really
place
good,
of perfection?
And it's Peter Purvis doing the first Doctor,
Fraser
High's doing the second Doctor.
Is there quite a bit of shouting
and
in
they
it?
All meet...
I remember you put it on once, I went to bed, and then I woke up and loads of people were shouting.
But you've got like Jamie and Katarina meet, which is a great combination.
Oh, that sounds
and then,
so big.
Oh,
Finish.
And then you have
Jamie and Katarina.
There's a bit of the story of the first Doctor, Stephen and Katarina, and then it sort of flips to the other side with the second Doctor, and they're in the sort of same situation. Then they sort of meet in the middle, and then you've got the second Doctor and Zoe are being like evacuated, and they're like, everyone, get out this way. get into this ship, your pilot will tell you, and then it's like, hi, I'm your pilot rescuing you, my name's Stephen Taylor.
Oh,
it's like clever. It's like, and it mixes it
who
up
was this
it's
one?
Really good. I can't remember.
Is it David Kibbons?
Oh, it might be, yeah.
I think he's got a
good track record.
He did Dalek Occultations of Winter as well, didn't he? Yeah.
But if you love the 60s stuff.
I met him in a bar once. He was very
handsome.
Did
you?
Yeah. When I went to the PS Audio reunion. Yeah, he was there. Mm. Yeah, I got to talk to him about his stories.
Great.
Yeah. He's got a life away from Big Finish, though, so he just does the odd one. Oh, actually, that's another D. David Kibbons. Okay. Well then, on to
E. We've got the same E, haven't we?
Da 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 da. Knit one to one. Da 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 da. And two together. Dot dot dot. You made me drop a stitch.
A stitch in time.
I make excellent chocolate cake, and I'll make you some if you're good.
She's dead.
What's that?
It's Evelyn. Oh. Of course, it's Evelyn Smythe, the number one original Big Finish companion.
They call her Evil Evelyn. She is a pirate genuine.
I mean what else can we say?
No wrong. On the 60th anniversary, I could have celebrated anything. Yeah. The thing I celebrated was a series of clips of Evelyn Smythe's stories because she is absolutely TV, book, comic strip, Big Finish. My number one companion. You cannot get better than Evelyn Smythe. She is smart. She is resourceful. She literally drives the stories. Brilliant chemistry with her doctor. She is a fantastic character. We will never see the like again.
No, we won't, will we? Oh, and we should treasure all of the stories that we have of her.
Oh, she's
and obviously the Marion conspiracy.
Oh, amazing. And then the last one, Death in the Family.
Or the Marion conspiracy, depending on how you pronounce it.
That's how Dylan pronounced it, yeah. Oh, Evelyn's wonderful. Well, you can do the F first. Come on, I've done loads first.
Well, my F is another companion.
Oh my God, we've got the same one again.
Flip.
It is Flip, yeah! Well,
I mean, I didn't want to do too many companions, but I just could not have Flip.
She's because lovely.
We've been listening to some of those ones recently with her, and just every scene she's in, she just brings that energy and the entertainment, and she's just her one-liners.
Oh, I think people were unsure about Flip until she was paired with Constance, but I think she just straight off
the bat. I loved her straight away from the Curse of Davros,
the fourth wall, Wirren Isle.
And she's not.
Brilliant stories.
You see, I'm not. I mean, you've got a lot of these. You could put them all in one box. Yeah. Lucy Miller's, Rose, your sort of blonde, plucky, I don't know, Izzy from the comic strip, Sam Jones, maybe, I don't know. Your sort of blonde, modern girl.
Maybe Ruby from the new series as well.
Yeah, they all sort of go into that category. And I'm not a big fan of Lucy Miller.
No, it's madness. She's wonderful.
I don't really like her attitude gets...
I prefer Flip.
Flip just stands out amongst all of those, even Rose, or she's just got, because she's maybe a little bit younger and a bit more modern. She makes Rose seem like a 40-year-old. There's something about her.
Is it because you're an Essex chav that you like Flip? Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. There's just something about her that just has a different kind of energy, a different something. And the situations she's in. What was that one? Was it The Middle? The middle we were listening to.
Scorched Earth.
Static. Scorched Earth, yeah. And then putting her with Constance on top of that.
And that is a brilliant contrast. And whilst I think Constance isn't as vibrant, I think Constance is a brilliant companion as well. But you bring them together and it just makes a superb combination.
So I really hope there's more Lisa Greenwood.
Yeah.
I'd love actually Lisa Greenwood.
I keep asking her, you know.
Imagine her doing a short trip in first person. A little short story. That would be really great.
Have you heard Cortex, Fire and Vortex
no,
Ice?
No, there's quite a few that I haven't heard of her even.
You've got some gems to come then. Anyway. Well, there's our F Flip.
Okay, what's your G?
Lisa Greenwood, we love you. My G is a bit of a cheat. It is Grove, Edward. Edward Grove? Yeah, and I'll tell you for why. It was the Chimes of Midnight. A fabulous story, and I think he's a great villain. But no, basically, I just wanted something from The Shines of Midnight in, but I didn't want to use up my C. So I put Edward Grove to remind everybody, it's Christmas time, everybody, and Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without our plum puddings.
Without all Chimes of Midnight, no.
Oh, can I ask you a question? Will you stuff me full of plum pudding at Christmas?
We'll end.
Anyway, that's my G. What's your G?
My G is Graceless.
Of course, that's your G. Yes.
Spin-off from the worlds of Doctor Who. Started off with the lovely Graceless sisters from The Key to Time.
That's right. Zara and Tara.
Zara and...
Amy.
Amy. But then it became Abby. Or was it Abby then Amy?
Yeah, we couldn't have Amy.
Oh, no. You couldn't have Amy because the Amy in the new series came out. Yeah. So they had to change it to Abby. And you've only heard the first series, actually.
Series. I was very surprised. It very mature, quite dark.
Like I heard them in The Key to Time, and then I just tried out that first series, and I just wanted to get the next one, And we've had quite a few gaps in between the releases. And it's the tone of it, isn't it? It's much more adult tone. And I love the development of the characters, because they're sort of... They don't want to be baddies, but they always end up being a baddie, and they always end up... They're trying to make the right decisions, and it just never works out for them. And you just want them to settle down and and sort their lives out.
Simon Guri is not afraid to ask hard questions to his characters. He puts them in like morally complex situations, but he does excellent world building in that as well. The three I listened to were very disparate stories, but all of them had a really vivid location.
Oh, and you love the one, The Fog in the amazing. First series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So actually, if you haven't...
I sat there and watched that by candlelight, and I was feeling a bit tense.
If you haven't heard it, and you want to try different series from Big Finish, I thoroughly recommend Graceless. There's about 4 or 5 series.
Yeah.
It's your sci-fi story, but it's just done in a bit of a different way.
Well, there you go. So, H.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, it's another companion. It's Helen Sinclair.
Oh, really?
No, it's not. Oh, that's another one of my baby ones. Oh, she's so boring. No, of course. He has orange spats and a love of cats. It's a sick Doctor Who. Hebe.
Oh, yes.
Our Ruth Madeley from the Hebe. Well, no, what's it called? Purity series.
Yeah.
Just... the best thing that Big Finish has brought out for years and years.
Yeah.
We've done other stuff recently we really have enjoyed, mostly written by Tim Foley. The Purity set was incredible, wasn't it? It's Big Finish and it's about something important. And Hebe's a big part of that, being a wheelchair user. And Ruth Madeley has recently appeared on the television as Shirley Bingham in The Giggle and The Star Beast, and we love her to pieces. So Hebe is my choice.
It was our event series, wasn't it, of most recent Big Finish.
Yeah, I was so excited. It was the only Every Big time. Finish thing I was absolutely...
We weren't sure about it to begin with, were we?
No, I was desperate, though, by the end to listen to the end of it. Not because I wanted it to end, just because I was loving it so much. And Ruth Madeley slipped into The Sixth Doctor and Mel beautifully.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, no, they worked really well together, yeah.
What's your H?
He's got some great companions, hasn't he? Good old Colin Baker.
Well, no, he's got all the best.
They give him the best stuff.
Hebe, Flip, Perry, Mel. He's got all the best.
He's got the best ones, always.
And he's great as well, so it's win-win-win.
Okay, my H is...
The Haunting of Thomas Brewster.
The Haunting of Thomas Brewster.
Oh, that music's
probably
terrible.
Probably not what people would immediately come to mind as their favourite, but just at the time, and it was really interesting because it was billed as the Doctor and Nyssa, a new companion, and it wasn't Thomas Brewster, it was this other guy that they were working with because they're stuck in Victorian times or something.
The twist was
Thomas Brewster. And I remember a lot of talk about that music because it didn't really fit in.
Awful.
But
you love
like,
it,
that's
you?
What I love about it. I don't know, it just stood out because it had a different kind of sound. That Victorian London, I love a story set in that time.
It's Johnny Morris.
And you had Leslie Ash as Thomas Brewster's mother. And the way it sort of played around with the narrative as well. It's sort of Thomas Brewster narrating some of it. And then you had the Doctor and Nyssa in the background quite a lot. It was Thomas Brewster's story.
Wasn't there like a whole episode where they're not in it and it's all about
him? Yeah. The way it's just written, it's just around that time as well, because that was the early time when Nick Briggs had just taken over and we went a little bit dodgy for a little while. And this was sort of coming out the other end where there was a few, you know, The Condemned was around that time as well. It just started to pick up.
It was getting better. And then the trilogy was hit. These things stood out.
I mean, then you got, afterwards you got Time Reef and stuff with Thomas Brewster and talking about. But just around that time, oh no, The Boy That Time Forgot was next as well. There was a nice little arc there with the Thomas Brewster, and it was doing something different.
Controversial one.
With the Fifth Doctor and Nyssa, because we'd had a lot of stories with them by that time.
It's Johnny Morris, and you know, I think you'll find as we go through Finish Big, a lot of your favourites or the ones you're going to enjoy are Johnny Morris scripts. And that's not just because I've interviewed him, I think he's a brilliant writer.
We'll look forward to There's Johnny.
So, my eye is the iterations of I.
Ah.
So, it just so happened that Adric came back into the series with a very squeaky voice.
It's
a brilliant story. I wanted to put in a John Dorney story, because John Dorney is easily one of the most prolific and one of the best Big Finish writers they have. And this is a story all about language, which I really love as well, and sort of comprehending language. And I just think the way Adric's using that as well, because it's about mathematics, isn't it? It's just terrific. So that's mine.
When I listened to that one in the dark, I found that a bit scary.
Really scary. Yeah, the sound effects are really, really scary. Bravo, John Dorney.
Well, my eye is Charlotte Pollard herself, India Fisher.
Of course.
And not just because of Charlie Pollard, who we love. I loved her in her first ever role for Big Finish in Winter for the Adept.
Of course she did.
And she's played a few other... What else has she been in? She's been in Earth Search.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Oh, we loved her in MasterChef, didn't we?
Yeah, well, that's not Big Finish, though, is it?
Mark has made baked beans on toast.
But I think she's as one of the top contributors into Big Finish.
And she's just very, come very back. Well. It's not a spoiler now. She's just come back in the Audacity audios, and it's like she's never been away.
No, she sounds exactly the same.
She sounds as spunky as she did back in 2000 and whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Yeah. Good choice. How could I not think of that? Well, my J then is John Dorney.
Hey.
I think, in terms of hit rate, John Dorney's is the best. I mean, let's name some John Dorney stories: The Fourth Wall, Solitaire. I can't think of any more.
He played Alexander the Great in The Lost Stories. I remember
He's written over 100. Why can't I think of any more stories he's written?
He wrote the Eighth Doctor one in Ravenous, the Krampus-y one. No, not the
Krampus one. That's superb. Yeah. He wrote Palindrome, but I've not heard that one yet. No.
No, he has written a lot of great ones.
John Dorney is writing a script. Yeah, if he's involved.
Did he write the Wrath of the Iceni?
He did.
Yeah.
He wrote that one you love as well, the Land of Fiction one, Fourth Doctor. Crooked Page.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
Oh, sorry, John. But, okay, 9.5 times out of 10, you can be guaranteed it's going to be a fantastic script.
Mm.
And, you know, given how many scripts he has to churn out a year, that is it's a minor miracle. So, John Dorney, are my J.
We adore you. No. It's Christmas, we can make all these
songs.
Don't
do that again. I do it all the time.
I don't
just need Christmas.
Well, my J, I can't believe you didn't have. I thought we might have this. Jacqueline Rayner.
Oh, well, another great J,
Another great J. She was there at the beginning, adapting those early Benices.
Yeah.
But then everything else she does, especially at Benices. I love the Grell Escape, the Grell Invasion of Earth.
The Kingdom of the Blind, when she's pretending that she's deaf.
But also some of her, she's produced the Purity arc
wrote
as well.
Some of the best ones there.
If Jacqueline Rayner's name on it, I am there.
She wrote
audio, whatever it is, she can do no wrong. She's the best.
She wrote The Glass Prison as well, which is one of the best.
God. She's brilliant.
Doctor Who stroke spin-off books ever. Again, if Jacqueline Rayner is writing it, you know you're going to have fun.
The only negative thing about Jacqueline Rayner is she doesn't do enough.
Yeah.
She should be all over everything in Doctor Who.
Stop having a life, Jacqueline Rayner.
She needs to do more. Stop. Work more. Write more stuff. Like, I don't know. There's just not enough of her.
Remember when she was like creative consultant of the BBC range? I think, actually,
I take that back. She's been behind the scenes the whole time.
Yeah.
All of your favourite Doctor Who stuff. She's the best. I bet she's there somewhere involved.
And she's so humble as well. Yeah. You hear her in interviews. I love her. Do you know, I can't believe I didn't say Johnny Morris as well. Mm. So there's only so many J's you can have.
And she loves the Daleks Master Plan delegates as well. So that's why I love her too. We all love that. Right. What's she, K?
Built on how many corpses? Oh, I'm sure your trains run on time, Klein.
Klein.
But is it worth the slaughter of millions?
I know you'd get Klein. I'm not too fan. Explain why do you like Klein then?
I like Klein in Colditz, and I loved her in her first trilogy. And it almost felt like she could do no wrong, and in Unit Dominion as well. She's just a brilliant villain. It's a great idea of a reformed Nazi not reformed, because she then goes totally evil again. And it's Tracy Charles, and she's a brilliant actress, and you listen to her on those special features, she loves the role. I just think she's a great character. I unfortunately, the second trilogy came along when Alan Barnes had been in that role of script editor for too long, and they didn't do anything interesting with it. It's such a shame, because that's a real missed opportunity. But I feel as if they could bring her back for another trilogy or just a one-off now and do something spectacular with her again. I'd be very excited to do so. And she's always waiting for the call. So, Klein.
I've cheated a little bit with my K.
Go on.
Because the surname is K. His surname is Kane. Jason Kane.
Oh my God.
Which technically isn't a Big Finish original character. He is from the New Adventures.
Oh, come on, Benny.
But I love Stephen Tuell's portrayal of Jason Kane in those early Benices.
You like his...
I mean, what
you
else
like his
I
hairy
say?
Arsehole like, more, though,
oh,
didn't you?
Oh, my Honestly. God.
Yeah.
But no, he just sounds great.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Everyone's thinking of you women. Oh, my Jason God. Kane now.
I wish... He needs to come back. When did he come back with those new those 20 Years of Benny box sets? He came back last. Love for him to come back as another regular again.
I feel like he's done though.
I know
Stephen Fuell. It feels like he's absolutely done with it. But the period he was in the audios, right? Because I remember saying to you he was a bit mannered in that first series. By the time you get to that period I was telling you about, you know, leading up to his death, he was brilliant. He was really, really brilliant. And in the last stories in, Jason Kane Against the World, or whatever it's called, where he confronts Braxia Tell. That's one of the best scenes in audio they ever did.
Yeah, so that's it for me.
Would you lick his bumhole, though?
Oh!
I think that means yes. Okay, L. I've done a bit of a cheat now, because it's an umbrella term. But my L is The Lost Stories, which is a divisive range for sure, and it's certainly up and down in terms of quality. But fuck me, we are so lucky that those exist.
Are we?
I think so, yes. There's some I adore. I absolutely adore... good grief. What's it called?
Are you talking about the Sixth Doctor ones?
The one with William Marlowe. What's that one called? You know, the historical one.
Point of Entry.
Yeah, I love that one so much. Leviathan's great. The First on Taurus is great. The Elite is great.
But that first series of the Lost Ones, sure, they need editing a bit. They're like an hour and a bit each.
No, but they're trying to be as faithful as possible.
Yeah, we'd hate Eric Saywood even more if they were made, wouldn't we?
But they should be. No. I think we're super lucky that they exist, because they are a real glimpse in what we might have got. For good or for ill.
Mission to Magnus?
I love Mission to Magnus.
Boy, stop kissing my feet, or whatever Harry says. Oh, stop it now, boys.
What's all that about?
Oh, no. The Tractators from the Crit Strange Big
I know.
Mage.
Some of them are boring.
Terrible. But they are so boring.
We're still lucky to have
them.
As a piece of entertainment, perhaps they fail. As an intellectual exercise...
Waste of everyone's time.
No, they're not. I feel as if...
I'm talking about the Sixth Doctor ones.
A lot of people... No, because a lot of people feel like they didn't get that season. And now they have that season in a form.
And now we're glad that it wasn't made in the end.
Look, if you think that's bad, go and listen to Ian Levine's versions. I've got some clips of that, you know.
But no, apart from those first ones, the 60s ones are brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, Fresh Out of
the Sixth Doctor ones are brilliant. Farewell, Great Macedon.
What's Both the one with Deborah Watling as Victoria?
Oh, that's terrible.
Vic.
Power Play. Yeah, that's terrible.
I love Power Play.
The Macros, which is a bit of a weird one. Guardians of Prophecy. Actually,
Doomsday Contract, the Fourth Doctor one.
Yeah, no, it's really...
There are,
it's
as it goes on, there are some
stories.
It. Yeah.
And it just goes to show, as usual, you know, Doctor Who is up and down in terms of quality. Yes, I just think they were worth doing. Nick Briggs, you were wrong, because he didn't want to do them. And David Richardson really wanted to do them. And I think a lot of people just feel thankful that they have a version of those stories with, for the most part, the original actors involved. So that okay. The Lost Stories is my L.
Well, my L is Lisa Bowerman.
You can't have Bernice Summerfield and Lisa Bowerman.
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is Lisa Bowerman, the director of many a companion chronicle.
Yeah, of course. Oh, she's wonderful.
And, I mean, she's played so many bit... Jago and Lightfoot, her involvement in that. Again, go and listen to our interview with her.
Oh, and do you remember that song she sang as well? We're putting our face in a happy place filled with butterflies and cake. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to say much more. Just the words Lisa Bowerman sums up all of Big Finish
if you
and
need,
all the hard work.
If you need... 65 minutes of reasons as to why Lisa Bowerman is fabulous, go find our interview on YouTube.
Brilliant. Oh.
I mean, do you remember when I asked her the question, would you please detail from getting a script to the finished product? I thought she'd maybe say three lines. She gave us 20 minutes going through the entire directorial process.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Okay, my M is...
Oh, God.
Master with an exclamation mark.
Oh, the series.
Yes, because I had so much fun with that first series. We haven't heard the second or third yet, but I had so much fun with it. Eric Roberts back with Big Finish, something we never thought we would get in a million years, and then teamed up with our other favourite, Chase Masterson.
What a combination. Oh, we couldn't have dreamed of it. We couldn't have dreamed that up, could we?
What you've got is sort of Eric Roberts, who's very lackadaisical in his line delivery. You know, like, you know, like, I'm evil, you know. And then you've got Chase Masterson, who is all like, you know, you evil bastard, I'm going to get you. The contrast is just divine. But actually, the world building in that, again, was amazing. I thought it was really well written. And it had energy and pace and fun to it in a way a lot of Big Finish is sort of very worthy these days. And this was just balls to the walls fun, or rather tits to the walls fun, because, oh, Chase, you've got a fabulous pair on you, honestly. The way they went from having just your face on the cover of Vienna
to your tits.
It was. And I bet that series sold extremely well. So Master is my M.
Okay, well, my M is a bit of a weird one, but they have appeared. Big Finish have done new things with them. The Mechanoids. I love the Mechanoids.
English.
And from their first appearances, the Juggernauts. Very good story.
Zero.
And then I was very excited when they turned up in Dalek Universe 1, that Mechanoid story there. It's just great that Big Finish can bring back these often forgotten favourites and do something different with them. You can see your favourite monster from the 60s in a 10th Doctor story. It's only that could happen in Big Finish, these mashups. And please, more Mechanoids.
Yeah.
Please. They've only done the two, I think. Oh, no, they're in a River Song as well.
Of course they're in a River Song. Jesus Christ.
But no, I mean, it's just
sometimes,
great, isn't it?
Sometimes you look at these things, they drag it back from the past, you know, like the Kralls, things like that, and you think, oh, why are you doing that?
Because the Kralls are great.
No, they're terrible. But the Mechanoids, man, I feel as if they are...
I'm so surprised they never end up in Dalek Empire.
They're ripe for exploration.
They really should have been in Dalek Empire.
Wasn't there
Empire.
People inside of them in the Juggernauts or something? Like the remains of people.
There was something different about them, wasn't there?
Was
yeah.
A bit grisly. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, bring back more of them. Where's the Time War Mechanoid series?
Zero. Stop.
Okay.
Okay, well, my N is, of course, the most famous Nick you're ever going to find. Nicholas Briggs!
Yay!
No, it's not. Oh. That's one of my booby ones. I am choosing Nick Briggs. He's written 500 stories and only 5 of them were any good. No, it's the other Nick, Nicola Bryan, who has been... Oh, she's marvellous. She has been with Big Finish since Whispers of Terror.
Right.
And she's never delivered a bad performance. Come on, she absolutely attacks Perry... with with real energy. You think she's fun. Don't even lie
no,
to
I
me.
No, I do. She did all them lost stories. I mean, she needs a blooming OBE for that.
But in the same breath, they've given her stories like The Reaping, where she gets reunited with her mother.
That's true.
They've given her stuff like Church on the Crown, where she's playing. They've given her brilliant stuff like Perry and the Piscon Paradox.
She's in that Judge Dredd.
Yeah, right. There is always an exception. I think she's a stalwart of Big Finish. She's the one of the prime examples of taking an ill-defined character on the screen and giving them a renaissance on audio.
And Ho and Emma Mem and the Fifth Doctor, all of that relationship.
Emma Mem. Eminem.
Yeah.
Do your Eminem song again. Go on.
No, not now.
With Wilson Sheedy, please stand up. Please stand up.
No, my favourite era of Perry.
Favourite what?
Era of Perry.
Era. It's so easy to say.
Doctor and Error Mem, actually. It was great to see her with another character.
Not Colin and Perry. Not Colin and Nicola.
We've had them on TV and I know. Like, they're great. But no, it's
together.
Just, well, if you talk about doing something different, it's just nice to see that alternative take on the sisterly Perry rather than the, you know, Sixth Doctor and Perry.
Do you remember that?
Perry.
I'm surprised no one's made that joke. Oh, this is a bit hard, Perry. Do you remember her in that story? What was it like? You know, the Facebook one.
Oh, that was a really brilliant one, wasn't it?
What was the advert jingle?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Oh, Park. It's Perry and Park. Anyway, Nicola Bryan, I think you are fabulous. I think you deliver standout performances. And I think you've been challenged in ways that you haven't. Not that she is challenged. She has been challenged in ways that she wasn't by the TV show. So very I think good. That's a very worthy N.
Yeah. Well, my N is reoccurring character. Talking about original creations from Big Finish that have surpassed probably their use. Narvin from the Gallifrey series.
Sean Carson.
Who was that sort of a supporting character at the beginning of the Gallifrey series. I mean, the Gallifrey series is brilliant, but he's built up over the years to be a main character and one of the leading characters.
He was great in those
later
seasons. He was a bit Weasley in the early ones, wasn't he?
Well, you weren't sure if he was a baddie or not. Yeah. And you weren't sure, but he's become, and he's got a legion of fans out there who love the Gallifrey series.
It's so funny.
There's so much like fan art and fan stuff.
He
about
has got
him.
This little gaggle. Yeah. Of, oh, I don't know how little they are. They might be massive. Like this gaggles of girls.
Yeah.
That
love
go
Narvin.
To conventions, right? They're called the Narvinites or something like that. And they do all sort of porny pictures of him and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I think he gets very excited. He shares some of them, you know? But then on the recent one, he's in a leather jacket with a bit of scruff. And I was like, well, I'll do him as well. I might go to those conventions and be a Narvinite.
And he's got a great relationship with Leela in the Gallifrey stories and Romana. Yeah. And he just fits in. And it's like it's one of those great characters that Big Finish have created and has just gone through probably beyond their expectations. Yeah.
Oh, is that the
That's
end?
That's that, yeah. I sort of stopped there.
Okay, well then, oh.
Oh.
Well, obviously, my O could only be Big Finish's meteoric 60th anniversary success, Once and Future!
You're joking.
I am, yes. Actually, I've chosen something that you might not suspect me to choose, but it is something of a minor favourite of mine, even though I don't really mention it.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
What?
I know what you're going to say.
What?
Orbis.
No.
Oh.
Other Lives.
Oh.
Which is an Eighth Doctor story.
Yes, I like that one.
It's really great.
Yeah.
And it's a story where there isn't really a villain or an alien monster in it.
It's the one where they go to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I love Crystal Palace.
I know you do. Mark is one of the friends of Crystal Palace.
Oh, I love
He's going to start cleaning the dinosaurs soon. No, it's really, really great. It's from a period that isn't popular. It's that sort of latter day Eighth Doctor, Charlie and Careers. All three of them get a great role. You've got Ron Moody in there in brilliant scenes with Charlie.
But
the Eighth Doctor gets to have like a domestic drama with India Fisher's sister, which is great. And then Careers gets a great subplot where he's taken to like a travelling circus, isn't he?
Mm.
It's just a very competently told historical story in a not very popular era of Big Finish. I think it's a really great story.
So, out of that run of those last ones, I mean, you've got Memory Lane, but
I like Memory Lane, but Overlies is better. I really like Terra Firma as well.
Yeah, that's all right,
but then you've got stuff like Something Inside, which is tedious.
Ooh. Right. Well, my O is one of our favourite stories, which you probably would have chosen as well if you could have. The One Doctor, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute classic, classic, classic. Up there with The Chimes of Midnight.
Facing Mel. He's lunch.
Like, I could just listen to that again and again. And we've talked about it on our episode about it. I don't know what more I could say.
I like the sound of a total sensory emulsion.
That is an absolute... Listen to that one at Christmas as well, everyone. You'll be thoroughly entertained. You can never get bored of it. The One Doctor. Perfect.
Mel, how's your wilting willow impression? What? I mean, faint. Why didn't you just say that? It's great. Well, my P is, again, from the Purity series, Professor Patricia McBride.
Oh, brilliant.
Double P. The wonderful Imogen Stubbs. But it's primarily for her scenes with Colin Baker in that, which is some of the best dramatic singing you're going to hear in Big Finish in many a, many a year. And I'll leave it there. Over to you.
Well, she started out as just a sort of a side character in that second set. We didn't really know how important she's... And then suddenly, it all just turned on that scene, didn't it? And you're like, oh, yeah. This is where it's going.
And we genuinely...
were shocked, weren't we?
Our blood run cold. We're sitting there on the beach listening, and we both sat up, and we're like, we've not had a scene like this in Big Finish for a long, long time.
It was a Big Finish equivalent of Behind the Sofa.
Yes. What's that?
Of going behind... You know, oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. She did turn out to be the best villain. Anyway, yeah, what about you?
My P is the best P of all.
Perry?
Paul McGann.
Oh, God.
Where would we be if Paul McGann had not agreed to do a Big Finish?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, we love him in the TV movie.
Yes, we do.
Favourite Doctor. And then that announcement he was coming back to do some original audio dramas with Big Finish, starting with Storm Warning, and look where we are now. Who would have dreamed that there'd be so many Eighth Doctor stories out there and that you'd have so many different companions? So I'm just so grateful for Paul McGann.
I think there are periods where the Eighth Doctor, I'm not talking about Paul McGann, where the Eighth Doctor went off the boil because some of the writing got a bit stale. I'm talking about the Time War series and things like that, yeah? But the initial run with Charlie, the Lucy Miller years... And some of the stuff they're doing Audacity.
I was thinking Dark Eyes.
It's terrible.
It was one of the most popular releases.
Get in your tardy and box, actually, the Doctor.
I think you can define Big Finish before and after Dark Eyes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because that started the box set revolution.
Yeah, but can I say?
And it was around the... It was leading up to the 50th, wasn't it? Because it was maybe... That was 2012, I think, Dark Eyes. It really changed things, I think, and refreshed... Paul McGann and the Eighth Doctor and Big Finish. I think
you can
really
define Paul McGann before and after Dark Eyes because it was so much better before Dark Eyes.
No.
Then you suddenly started going into those 16 story sets and it all just lost its way. Doom Coalition and all of that.
But they do a lot of different things with him, and I quite like that. You've got the Time War version, you've got like the sort of strandedy Dark Eyes-y lot. You've got the Charlie Pollard lot. There's so much that he's doing. I'm so glad that he's continuing to work with Big
The stuff he's doing right now.
We'll celebrate Paul McGann.
The Audacity stuff is brilliant. I actually think, you know, and this is quite a statement, the season 4 of the Lucy Miller series, so that's from the one where she leads, the Christmas one, what's that called? Death in Blackpool, up to Lucy Miller into the Death. I think that is one of the best seasons of Doctor Who, TV, whatever, ever. It is so brilliantly plotted that season. I think the stories are really strong and the characterisation is excellent. Yeah, so Paul McGann's excellent.
Mm.
And he's pretty as well.
Mm.
So my cue. Cue's hard, right? Yes. Did you find a good cue?
I found a cue.
Well, I sort of broke the rules a bit because I've basically misspelled the name of a villain. My cue is Quandar from...
Oh my God.
From... What's it called? What's that Fifth Doctor story called? Somebody help us out.
Primeval?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's not your favourite cue in all
Don't
the Big Finish.
Turn around. Well, it ain't the Queen of Time. We listened to that the other day, and that was fucking tedious.
Well, you're the one celebrating lost stories.
You end up with all this stuff. I suppose Queen of Time is on my list.
Queen of Time, please. You thought Cecil Toymaker was boring.
Can we skip over Quandar then to yours?
Yeah, okay. My cue actually is, it was one of my favourites, actually. Quinnis. The companion.
It's so boring.
What it sums up, though, is though I really love those companion chronicles where you just feel sort of one-on-one with that, whoever's reading
Carol Ann Ford.
You want to go one-on-one with Carol Ann Ford. That extra mystery of the pre-Unearthly Child stories of just the Doctor and Susan. And I really liked that one. I really enjoyed Quinnis.
I don't remember a thing about it.
And what they get the little fish thing, which ends up being in Relative Dimensions. It's sort of like it came out at the same time as Relative Dimensions.
This is Christmas. And the
fish thing that they get in Quinnis is what's in the TARDIS and
in Relative Dimensions.
Yeah, so they're linked together.
I mean, I love the Companion Chronicles.
And also that this sums up Big Finish as well. That one-off mention of Quinnis in The Edge of Destruction can then actually be a full-blown adventure, which then links to the Eighth Doctor story, which then links to something else. You know, it's...
Yeah. It's that Big Finish thing.
And we
all
wanted to know what Quinnis was about, didn't we? So no. There we go. Now we know.
It was mentioned in The Edge of Destruction.
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was going to say, I was looking at my list for what my R was.
Okay.
Well, my R is recently interviewed Robert Valentine.
Hey, do the thing.
Oh, we're doing a heart now. We've sort of got half each.
Hearts for Robert Valentine.
Oh, we love him so much. And I love his writing. I love the stories that he writes. But I think even more than his writing is I love him as a person. And he's given a huge amount of time for my other podcast, Hamster. I just think he's fabulous. Like, he's the whole package. We've even socialised with him a little bit as well. And he was wonderful company when we went out with him.
And he runs marathons as well.
I know. I've seen him in shorts. It's fabulous. So, Rob, you're pretty. You're an excellent writer. And you're a wonderful human being. Robert Valentine is my R.
My R is...
Robert Valentine?
Romana.
Romana?
Romana 2. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, you come back to Beautiful People again.
Romana 2.
Okay.
As in Lala Ward.
Oh, from Gallifrey you're
talking
about.
And she's done a lot. Well, she's done across all of it. She's done a lot, hasn't she? So we first saw... I mean, she first turns up with Colin Baker in the Apocalypse Element.
Oh, that was great, and a bit wasn't more, it?
You know, you never thought...
I am not Unit 117. My name is Romana Dratchrilanda.
I think she's a great audiobook reader and I love the Beautiful People Companion Chronicle.
I might she does. Let the Daleks dehumanise me, but I will not tolerate it from you.
But her big work... In the Gallifrey series, she really has built that character of Romana.
Yeah. And do you know what? In some of those Fourth Doctor ones, she can be a bit grumpy. But in the Gallifrey ones, she can be a bit grumpy.
Yeah.
Because she's in all these political machinations and things,
actually,
I quite
like the grumpier Romana from Gallifrey more than the
But
TV
not in the Fourth Doctor
one.
Ones, though.
Not in the Fourth Doctor. I can't think of any standout things from there. But it's mainly her in Gallifrey and her relationship with Leland, Arvin... And she's just built up this whole world around her.
I think we need to honestly say that the reason you like Lala Ward is because every time you've got a dicky tummy, you put on The Beautiful People and it makes you feel better.
I don't know why. I think it's because I talk about donuts at the beginning of it. That's the only reason.
It's got the best fat joke ever in that, where the woman goes, oh, I've heard all the excuses in the world. I'm the Typhonian ambassador. Oh, man, it's so funny. And she reads it well as well. She's brilliant.
Okay. What's your S?
Of course, the much criticised by you, Sophie Aldred.
No,
it's not, no. As if she would be in my bottom A to Z. Can we do that one next time? Oh, she's dreadful.
Come on,
do you know what? Well, she's a lovely person. She's a lovely person.
Yes.
But she's a dreadful actress. I'm sorry. Okay, I've got a triple way S because I couldn't decide. So, it's a... cross between Scorched Earth, which I think is a superb character drama, Flip and Constance at their best, and a fabulous cover by Tom Newsom, Static by Jonathan Morris, which was a brilliant Flip and Constance at their best, and not a cover by Tom Newsom, but it's a great cover anyway, and my last S is... Ooh, Joe is making a thing. Oh, she got a thing that thing goes bing. What a lovely thing to sing about. Joe is making a thing. The school cheese.
Oh, I'm not a fan of the school cheese.
It is. What, you are mad. It's glorious.
It's just Katie Manning being a bit of a loudmouth. It just gets on my nerves.
No, I think that showcases Katie Manning's diverse talent at its best.
Is it?
But it's very funny. It's a great James Goss script. It manages to walk that fine line between very funny and very scary and very wacky. I just love it. No. So I think my official S will be the Scorchies, just so you have to put a picture of the cover up on the video.
I think the other two are better.
No, they're all there, so you've got to put them all on.
Well, my S is another Big Finish series, Survivors.
Oh, it's which bleak. You can't bring up that on Christmas Day.
Joe, I have never seen the TV series of Survivors at all.
That's very
slick. And I got the first series in the Big Finish sale, I think. I just went into it. I knew it was about like a plague or something. And I just got into that world straight away. It's very dark. It's very grim. And there's so many different characters. And it's quite interesting how there's a lot of Big Finish original characters and some of the TV characters. I have no idea which is which. And they flip between both of them. So you might have a box set of certain characters, and then box set 2 picks up somewhere else with a completely different lot.
I know
then
who the originals are.
Box set 3 does. And it goes all over the place as well. But it's all within this same world. And you just never know who is going to survive next, literally.
They would focus on the TV characters from the TV show.
But they don't. In the background.
They do not scrimp on their original characters.
No.
It's brilliant drama. I mean, it's certainly not for kids. It's very adult.
And I've only listened to about the first 5 series. I've got like 10 of them. I haven't even got through them yet.
I remember that one we was watching. Yeah. We was listening to when they was out in the woods.
Yes.
And they were being hunted down. I was so tense.
You know what? It's perfect. It's great sort of winter evening listening
to. Yeah, that's when we listen to it.
But it's not. It's sort of scary, but it's very dramatic. So Louise Jameson is brilliant in it. She created a character for it and has written for it as well.
Yeah.
And one of our favourite, you know that, well, I won't spoil it, but people die. You don't know how long they're going to be in it for.
Yeah. Chase
Masterton is there. So, yeah, Survivors. Again, if you want to try a different series, give it a go.
That just shows the difference between the two of us. Our show's a Scorchies and you show Survivors. So, my T. I actually wrote down something, but I've changed my mind in doing this list. I originally wrote down Tales from the Vault, just because I wanted to mention Daphne Ashbrook.
Ruth Matheson.
She's great. But then it's got Yuji So in it, and that's not so great. No, my T now is going to be a recent T that we have discovered, Tim Foley.
Oh, yes.
Who basically... He's the writer at the moment that can do no wrong. Oh. We listened to his great Cyber War in the Audacity set, which was amazing. And we listened to his In the Pursuit of the Nightjar, which was a fifth Doctor story, which was incredibly good. I think he's not the sort of writer that just hashes out a script. He's someone that sits down and really considers what he's writing. Gets all the details right, gets all the characterization right. I think he's superb.
Tim Foley, get inside us now.
Yes.
Our ears.
Yes, in our ears, not our arses. Don't get your hopes up, Tim Foley. All right. We're not itching for a threesome. Go on.
Well, my tea is the 10th Doctor Adventures. I know it's a bit general.
Why?
But do you remember when they announced David Tennant was going to do a Big Finish? How exciting it was?
I don't remember any of them. Which ones?
Well, there's the Dalek Universe stories.
Oh, those ones. Oh, you mean any David Tennant one?
Just David Tennant, the 10th Doctor Adventures.
Excluding Once and Future,
we are very lucky to have David Tennant. He brings that energy that he has on TV.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's really good fun. But Dalek Universe especially.
That was superb.
That was really great.
Yeah.
And I hope he does
more. Oh, no, his ones with Donna.
And the ones with Donna, yeah.
Technophobia and Death and the Queen.
And he's sort of that... he hasn't done so many that when there is one, it's special.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I know.
Like, the Chris Eccleston ones, and they are good, because I've listened to the latest one, and it is really good.
Died down pretty quickly,
because it's a continuing range of stories.
And they're a bit boring sometimes.
Just the first one. Just the Briggs one was boring.
Yeah. What was it called? The Ravagers was not a good start. Oh,
God.
Everyone, I mean, it's very clever.
If you're thinking of a Christmas treat from Big Finish, do not buy the Ravagers.
It's very clever because everyone would have pre-ordered that because it was just Christopher Eccleston, that first set. So it didn't matter what the hell they did.
Oh, that's terrible, though.
Which means Nick Briggs could just write anything. And they gave it to Nick Briggs because it doesn't matter how good or bad it was because everyone's pre-ordered it. Then the rest get better because they actually have to put some effort
in. But then I didn't buy any more because it was so terrible.
Yeah, I know. I didn't. It totally put me off straight away. I was so excited and put that first one in and then it was like, oh. But no, they have got better since because we've had the Burryman
The Roy Gill one, yeah. The Burryman, yeah. That was brilliant.
But it's the same as Sirens of Time. Everyone probably pre-ordered the Doctor Who's coming back. Doesn't matter who writes it because everyone's pre-ordered it anyway.
Well, it's a bit like, doesn't mean it's great. It's a bit like Destination Nova. You did the first one.
And the same with the Fourth Doctor every single time.
I think he did the first Third Doctor one as well, you know. Stop doing the first ones, yeah. Nicholas Briggs.
But the Tenth Doctor adventures have not fallen down that hole.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, can I just say a complete side note? I don't want to just say terrible one.
We always end up saying terrible things, rip Nicholas Briggs a lot. Which is great.
No, but if you're
in charge and you're creative director, you have to put up with this.
Well, we certainly put up with criticism about our podcasting. So, like, you can put up a bit, yeah, you put up a product, you expect to get some criticism and some praise.
We pay a lot of money for
the product. I said earlier that the full series of the Lucy Miller series was one of the best ever, and he was creatively in control of that. He was the one producing that season, and he wrote two superb scripts. He ended that run unforgettably.
Again, we've said this before, we only highlight it when it's terrible because we know how good, when he's good, it's really good.
It's just, it's mostly terrible.
But it's mostly rubbish. That's the problem.
No, it's mostly rubbish. Okay, so what's your tea?
That was my tea, 10th Doctor Adventures.
Oh, okay. You done with it?
Yeah. We spilt the tea on Nick Briggs.
Oh, get him a cloth. My you, then, is, again, an umbrella term. The Unbound.
Yes, me
series.
Too. Snap.
Yeah, I think it was a worthy exercise to do. Well, then, very quickly, just tell me your favourites. My favourites are, I love 4, 5, and 5 with David Collins, and I love the two with Jeffrey Belden. What are they called?
Old Mortality
and
Storm of Angels.
Oh, Storm of Angels is great. And I do like Deadline with Derek Jacobi as well. And the only one I don't like was Exile, written by Nick Briggs.
My favourites are Old Mortality, or whatever it's called. He Jests at Scars.
Oh,
I love Jests at Scars.
Gary, I love you, but no, that is fan wank central.
And Deadline as well. That really stood out.
Deadline's great. Oh, Sympathy for the Devil's pretty good as well, the David Warner one.
It's very interesting because, I mean, we weren't getting any other new Doctors at the time. There wasn't, you know... There weren't any First Doctor Adventures recasts or anything like that. So it was a really interesting way of doing something different with the character of the Doctor and these different what-ifs. I just love the Valeyard one, though.
Whilst David Warner was alive, they were doing a whole series of Unbound Doctor stories. And then they started doing Master of War, which is exactly the same... War Master. No, the War Doctor, you know, the Colin Baker Doctor. The War Colin Baker.
Oh, well, that's an Unbound Doctor.
So they're doing the same thing again. Mm. So it's a premise that really sort of reaps rewards. It's a nice what could have been, you know?
Yeah.
We're coming up to it soon.
We're doing it soon, yeah. What's your V then?
we might have the same one again.
I don't think we have. But,
okay.
Oh, well, no, I know what your
V is. She's got the most fabulous tits in the whole of Big Finish.
She's got a sidekick called Jexy Reagan.
Can I say, even though I do go on about her boobies a lot, I think Chase Masterson is a really, really great actress. I think she's fun. Like, she's great in DS9. And she deserved that series. I think she holds up that series really well. And it's a Johnny Morris written series. Like, he's the one that writes most of them, I think. And they are smart stories. They don't do the obvious thing. I was really surprised with that Vienna series at how good it is. And it reminds me again and again, sometimes the biggest talent in Big Finish is in some of these obscure spin-offs.
And it's a shame. I was going to say, it's a shame how obscure some of them are, because I don't think they sold very well. It's not necessarily. It's going to appeal to someone who likes some big tits on the cover, but not a Doctor Who fan necessarily.
Well, I like big tits on the cover. Even though I'm not straight.
It just sort of went under the radar. I mean, I only really got them because they came up in a sale one day. I didn't get them straight away, and it's. I like how Big Finish do try different series away from Doctor Who. They're always trying to do something a bit different. Probably with an eye on they're going to lose the license one day, and what can we carry on as an original series?
Mark and I put a load of bits of paper with Big Finish's box sets in a box and just pulled them out. And when we got Vienna, we both sort of looked at each other and went, ugh. And then we listened to it and we were genuinely surprised. Like, I think sometimes you've got to take a punt on these things, like the things you take a punt on, like Tales from New York, which is so boring.
New Earth,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one. And oh, some of the River Song box sets and things like that. But this is one that genuinely reaps rewards. Individual stories are good, the running storylines are good, and Chase Masterson's great. I'm not sure about Samantha Biart's...
Jessie Regan.
Her accent is terrible. She's putting on an American accent and she's English. It's really, really bad. But Vienna is my V.
My V is the Virens.
That's one of your favourite things.
I love the Virens. We don't have that many successful...
My God, that's a Nick Briggs?
Yeah.
Monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was really excited when they brought out... They said there was going to be this reoccurring villain. We haven't had that many successful reoccurring original Big Finish villains, have we?
No,
and
not really.
I liked the idea that they'd be across different doctors.
The Eminence?
Yeah, the Eminence, actually. I actually quite like the Eminence.
That was a Nick Briggs monster.
It tied into, well, with the Condemned and the Sixth Doctor and Charlie arc. It very much ties in, and the Viren story is with that. But we had a little prelude. There was a Fifth Doctor and Perry one, remember? Mission of the Virens.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that one, that one-off. And there was a few other ones where, you know, Urgent Calls, remember? That was part of the arc with the Sixth
Doctor.
They're
definitely in Patient Zero, aren't they?
Yeah, that's where they really come into it, because it's them and the Daleks, and that's where the whole...
It's the whole Charlie Pollard box
Blue
sets after that,
planet
isn't it?
And everything. And then they've been present in the Charlie Pollard series as well. I'd like to see them return and do a bit more, but it was a great idea.
What's the idea of them? You can't remember, can you?
No. There was all these viruses, and it was some medical centre, or they were collecting all the viruses. Anyway, basically, there was an explosion, and all these viruses got swept across the
universe.
They're
going around the universe.
And they are on the mission of the Virens, to collect these... get these viruses
they're
back.
They're sort of cauterising time, aren't
they? And if you're infected by it or something, you're done. So that's why they're quite... Yeah, that's why they end up taking Charlie Pollard, because for whatever reason she's infected or whatever. And yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a great concept. And again, it was around that time. We were just coming out of the early Nick Briggs time taking over.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was one of the first sort of arc-y things that he did or came in or was involved with. I don't know, it just seemed exciting, and
they were in Patient Zero and Blue Forgotten Planet, weren't they? And that's two great stories. See, we can say nice things about him.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Okay, well, my W is done. Da 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 da. You said you never wanted her in your hair, but I should know she's famous for it. Oh my God, I love the Wormery so much. I will be unstoppable when we cover that soon. It is the sort of story that Colin Baker never had on TV. This fabulous story set in a cabaret bar in outer space with Iris Wildthyme. It is melancholic, it is bawdy, it's a fabulous piss take of Trial of a Time Lord. It's got brilliant music. He has got great chemistry with Katie Manning in that. It's got another version of Iris in it as well, Bianca. It's got one of my favourite lines ever, where it's like, what is it? You can't have a denouement in a patisserie. It's so... Oh, no, the bit where they're in the taxi cab and he goes, hey, Iris, give me your earrings. And she goes... What are you doing? Dressing up? It's so funny. Oh, the Wormery is glorious. It's my crush and yours, Steve Cole and Paul Mars together. You've got the brilliant plotting skills of Steve Cole in there and the fabulous dialogue of Paul Mars and the brilliant characterisation of both of them. It is an absolute hit. And it came out the same month as Zagreus, I think, because they knew they had to bring out something because that was so shit. And fortunately, they brought out that gym. Mm. Fabulous stuff.
Well, my W is Way of the Burryman. Now, I know we just said how the Ninth Doctor ones didn't start off great, but this one really put them back on track. The old, is it called Old Friends, the box set?
Yeah.
So this is the Brigadier and the Ninth Doctor teaming up and the Cybermen. It's two-parter by Roy Gill.
Love some Roy Gill. A much undervalued writer.
Give us some Gill, that's what I say.
Yeah, Gill us up.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. It was a really pleasant surprise how much I like this. And it had the guy from the Unit series as well who pops up.
The running man.
Yeah, the running man. And you're like, how? And you're not really sure.
You'll know him. He's the really gay one from Praxeus who snogs the guy in the TARDIS.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it just worked really well. It's just a great, exciting adventure. And it shows that actually you can do.
Well, and it gave us that Ninth Doctor Brigadier story we were denied.
Yeah, and actually, John Colshaw as a Brigadier and that is pretty good.
If you're thinking of dipping your toes.
Really good, it's a good Cyberman story.
It was a brilliant Cyberman story. I think Big Finish has a great hit rate with Cyberman stories, actually. If you're thinking of dipping your toes in the Ninth Doctor adventures, get that set. Because there's that, and then there's a one-part adventure set around that fella's funeral, isn't it, in the future, which is brilliant as well. So, yeah, what's that set called?
Old Friends.
Old Friends. Fabulous. Okay, well, X.
Joe, I don't actually have an X.
Oh, well, I went for Timothy X Attack.
Oh, what's he done?
Well, he wrote a second Doctor story called Wreck of the Titan. I don't remember a thing about it, but his name's got an X in it. That's why I put it in there.
I mean, there's X in the Daleks from Dark Eyes.
I don't remember a thing about that either.
And I could say I like Dark Eyes. You know, but no, X is a tough one, isn't it?
What about X Rani and the Ugly Mutants?
What's that from?
Well, I don't think it's Big Finish at all.
No.
I think it might be one of those BBV audios.
Let us know what X from Big Finish is. Is there a monster? Is there a character we've forgotten?
There's probably loads.
It's got to be, but nothing stands out as our favourite, unfortunately.
The Xylophonites or something like that. Okay,
let's move on to Y.
Let's skip straight on to Y. And of course, I remember when the Daleks came to Vega 6. The Seer of Yaldas.
No way.
We said how much we love the narration in Dalek Empire. So the planet Yaldas, from which the Seer came from.
Played by?
Oh, God, I've forgotten her name. Joyce Gibbs.
Do you mean she's still alive?
No, she's dead now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, no, you can hear her narrating Dalek Empire for all time. And we did Dalek Empire Series 2, Dalek War, and we didn't like it as much because Joyce Gibbs wasn't there.
I remember when Nick Briggs called me to be in Dalek Empire. It was a sunny day. I was most surprised.
Yeah, I was a bit stuck for a while, and Yaldas came to mind straight away.
Well, of course it was.
So I've got a Nick Briggs thing in there somewhere.
Yes.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, my why is Year of the Pig. A really great Sixth Doctor
choice.
Sixth Doctor and Perry
Matthew
adventure
Sweet.
By Matthew Sweet.
Yeah. Does that not make you hungry, that one?
Yeah, maybe that's why I like it.
He's talking about food all the way through. But
it was a great different idea. It's a softer Perry and Sixth Doctor, and it's got Maureen O'Brien returning to Big Finish, I think for the first time, playing a different character. And it's also got Martha's mum, what's her name?
Angela Adjo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about this.
It's very long.
It is long. And it's again sort of, not Victorian times, but just out of Victorian times.
Regency.
Maybe a region, And this pig, and because it's on audio, I'm like, is it actually a pig that he's still talking?
He's a kind of cover as a pig, dressed in clothes.
I'm like, I was waiting for this twist. He
sort of talks like that, doesn't he?
And it's
good to eat truffles and caramelised apples.
Sort of naughty pig and with his servant.
The thing you need to understand about Mark is he loves all this stuff. Tales of Beatrix Potter, Wind in the Willows, all of this weird stuff about animals that are being humanised.
I just remember it being a really good sort of a bit of a detective-y story. Great roles for Sixth Doctor and Perry. Perry, huh?
Maureen O'Brien.
Yeah. And the doctor, does he save, who's drowning in the sea? And the doctor takes his clothes off and jumps in the sea.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't remember. Somebody
I just
does.
Remember him going around the countryside in an old vintage car.
And he's like eating all the pigs, eating all the food in the hotel and everything. Isn't someone almost like steamed, goes in a sauna, is almost steamed to death or something?
Very odd.
I don't, it's very Matthew Sweet.
I think that's
because he knows his history and that kind of time.
It's one to revisit, I think.
And it's a bit eccentric.
I remember the dialogue being fantastic.
It's a very eccentric story.
But I could understand why it would be divisive as well.
Oh, I just think it's brilliant. The only gripe I have, and it happens every now and then.
Go on.
They use the wrong theme music.
Which one
they use the trial music, and actually it should be the season 20.
You're such a geek. Honestly.
Because it's Sixth Order and Perry before trial, but they use the wrong music. That's the only thing.
I've got to say, I get very excited.
That's a beautiful
every
cover,
time,
actually, as well.
Every time I see Matthew Sweet's name on it, because he
quite
never.
Rare.
Well, yeah, but he never writes anything obvious.
No, like the Broadway one. He didn't
My God.
It's always steeped
what was
in
that
actual.
Called?
A song Broadway for Mel belongs to me or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. And he wrote a fabulous the thing at the end of the garden for Jago and Lightfoot.
Yeah. You know that he's done his research and he knows his history. And knows whatever time period it's set in, he's an expert in it.
And you'll get some just
I think he just
very
knows
memorable dialogue.
Yeah,
yeah, like intelligent.
Like when he
dialogue.
Does the interviews on the Blu-rays, it's very colourful.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
we love you, Matthew Sweet.
Yeah, we do. I like his glasses as well. He has cool, funky glasses.
What do you mean?
Well, they're sort of like those see-through, like, transparent
frames.
Oh, I think
it's all image. I don't think he even needs them. He's just looking cool. You're cool, Matthew Sweet. And Zed, of course.
What's your Zed? Have you got the same Zed?
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, God.
Oh, you go first.
No, you go.
Okay. My Zed is Zal.
Who?
Zal.
From?
Perry and the Piscon Paradox.
Oh, Zal.
It's so funny because it's Colin Baker playing the villain.
It is. That
I wanted to. I included this, well, one, because I needed a Z. I just put Z into the Big Finish website and one of these came up.
The Warrior Queen. The Warrior Queen.
Perry and the Piscon Paradox is brilliant.
Oh, it is.
And it does a very clever thing of doing a Fifth Doctor story and then. It does a Sixth Doctor story, but plays out the same events, and you learn that the Sixth Doctor was in the Fifth Doctor story all along, and this terrible villain in a zip-up costume called Zal. But it's a brilliant character study of Perry as well. Oh. Zal is my Zed.
I can't believe you didn't do this, Zed.
What? Oh, don't say Zagreus.
Zagreus!
Fuck's sake. Oh, why would I choose that load of bullshit?
Oh, come on. I don't think it's as bad as everybody says it is.
I think it's 5 hours
fun.
Long.
It's a very original. You've got to give it to them. It's a very original way of doing an anniversary story. It doesn't go down the whole multi-doctor thing, so obviously.
Just
everyone
because
gets to
something's
play
original,
something
it doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, Maggie Stables gets to play a vampire.
Sophie Aldred gets to play a duck.
A duck. Of course.
She
of
is
course.
A duck.
You got some incomprehensible dialogue from John Pertwee floating around.
Terrible.
But and you've got previously on Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's the best bit.
I mean,
the clips from Zagreus is the best bit. No, sorry, from Neverland. That's the best bit.
I just think it's really good fun. It's doing something original, and that you can never.
It's so long. We've decided we need to do an entire episode of Finish Big just for Zagreus.
Yeah, I know it is quite long, but it's epic. We want a big epic story. That's what you want.
I do like the fact that Sylvester McCoy pulls out his winky in that
winky.
One.
Winky.
Isn't kind of Baker like a evil
vampire? Yeah.
They do that.
Horn of Rassilon in there. You got everything. You got Annika Wills. You got. It all going on.
It's an utterly self-indulgent bit of nonsense.
But it's super fun.
Well, that is yet
it's
to be
the
determined.
Ultimate Zed.
I've only listened to it once
Big
because
Finish.
It is 5 hours long.
I've heard it loads of times. I love it.
Well, I will listen to it with you for Finish Big and we'll see.
Okay.
I think Zal is better than the Zagreus.
There we are. Well, thank you everybody for...
This has been very indulgent.
for coming along and visiting our A to Z with us.
That's right.
It's been lots of fun.
What are we going to do next? Our 1 to 100?
I don't know. Anyway, it's just a bit of fun just to have a bit of a Big Finish chat about a few of our favourite things at Christmas time.
These are a few of our favourite things.
And hope we spark some memories.
When you was at school, did you ever do that thing... A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, L, M, N, M, N, B.
What, sing the alphabet?
Yeah,
I think everyone at school said the alphabet at some point. No, we had Letterland. Do you remember those books? Oh, I love Letterland.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
There's a few different versions. I'd love to. I used to have a book of it. Oh, my God. It was A to Z, but they were all different characters, and it said about them. So we had Annie Apple, who was an apple. Bouncing Ben.
Annie Apple was an apple, was she?
Bouncing Ben was a bunny.
Yeah.
There was Clever Cat.
Do you know, I was once with a fella called Ben, and he bounced amazingly. Oh, he was a bouncing Ben.
Clever Cat. Dippy Duck. Ellie Elephant.
Dippy Duck, as played by Sophie Aldred in Zagreus.
What comes after E? E, F. Oh, Fireman Fred, I think it was.
Yeah, that's major point. We don't need to go through the whole lot.
Golden Girl. What's H? Hairy Harry. Ippy Inc.
Hairy Harry?
Yeah, he was a big H. Had a beard.
You know,
Ippy Inc. It's all coming back to me.
Have you seen that picture of Ian Marta recently with a tank top on?
Where?
It was online. It was gorgeous. With bulging muscles coming out. He was hairy. He was a hairy Harry.
I can't remember Jay now.
That's all right. That's okay. We're there. So thank you very much for listening
to everyone.
A to Z. I suppose we should go out with a song.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's a good Christmas Big Finish song? I've got it. Well, tonight, thank God it's Nick Briggs instead of you. I don't know why that even makes sense.
No, I know. Oh, well, what about Vienna? I'm coming down your earphones with my tits out.
Oh, my God. I think people are going to think we've gone completely mad. So don't forget, everybody.
Finish.
To jingle your bells.